Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, yes, I am. This is Wretched Radio, one of the most effective and unfair tactics of liberals when it comes to debating an issue is argument by anecdote. You've heard this before. Instead of stating their case, making their point, and then supporting it with facts, logic, reason, science, theology, whatever the issue is, they begin with a story. Let me tell you about little Jenny. Jenny was in a home, starving, clothes are tattered. The dog stole her food. Her mom and dad were never home. In fact, she didn't know who her parents were. Do you want Jenny to keep living like this? Of course you don't. Then agree with me. Oh, come on! That's not fair! You tug on the heartstrings with an anecdote, forcing me to side with you, otherwise I look like a big jerk. Liberals do that all the time. And I'm about to do it, sort of. Permit me to share with you an anecdote by way of setting the stage for a conversation about an issue. It sure turns out to be a little bit more emotional than I anticipated it would be. The subject, should a Christian wear a mask if the government mandates it? Did a program on this last week. And wow, lots of people disagreed. Fancy that. Somebody disagreed with me. Don't they know I'm a radio show host? When it comes to tertiary issues, I don't have the last word. I stated what I believed was a biblical response. If a government, even a bad government, mandates something that you believe is bad or dumb or ineffective, or an overreach with their constitutional authority, wearing masks. I was trying, believe it or not, to be encouraging by stating there could be some positives. If you hate that idea of the government mandating masks, there can be joy in obedience because we are glorifying God, we are demonstrating our reliance on Him, we are doing what we're told to do even when we disagree with it, we're receiving rewards in heaven because of our obedience. God is being glorified. Souls can be evangelized because they see us behaving and being obedient when we don't like it. So I thought I was bringing something positive. Well, last time I checked, well over 1,000 people on Facebook said, no, we disagree. And let me just say this from the get and the go. Virtually, not everybody, but virtually everybody, super polite, loving. It was nice. You disagreed. No sweat. It was just a joy that it didn't sound like a cable news show. So let me try to return the kindness in kind by being kind with my responses to your arguments that we don't have to obey the government if it mandates masks. And I am going to begin, I grant you, a bit unfairly by sharing a story. Imagine you're a mom. You're a dad. You notice your child is eating some candy and it's about 4 p.m. and you don't want your child to fill up. So you say, honey, put the licorice down. Let's not be eating candy before dinner. Well, mom, dad, I'm so glad that you entered into my orbit because I'd like to remind you that your authority is limited to training me up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So I don't have to obey you. Hold on, honey. Sorry, fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. Yes, but your authority is limited, courtesy of Paul writing to the Ephesians, that your authority, your job description is to train me up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and to not make me annoyed. And this conversation is annoying me, but that aside, licorice has nothing to do with training me up in the discipline of the Lord. This isn't a theological issue. You'd go, okay, what are you doing to the text here? You're working a little hard to try to get out of something that's pretty obvious. Scenario number two, Child comes home from school to present report card. Uh-oh, it's littered with Fs. You start to explain what the disciplinary actions are going to be for their failure to perform. And they say, but Mom, Dad, sorry, this is not your realm of authority. You do not have this authority over me. The authority of my grades comes from my teachers. Because you see, God has realms of authority. Yours is the home, pastor is at school, the government is in the society. And at school, it's my teacher. So I'm sorry that you don't like my grades, but it really is not within your realm of authority. You would say, you're confused because you are in my realm of authority. It has been given to me by God to exercise it as I see fit, and you cannot wiggle out of it because you don't like it, or it might be a difficult consequence. Why do I share those two anecdotes? Because I think that kind of captures much of the sentiment of the people who disagreed with me. I get it. Something like a mask. You want to shout, keep your masks off my body. This is not your right. Your authority does not extend to this. You see, in Romans chapter 13, it says that the government is only supposed to be punishing evildoers and I'm supposed to pay my taxes. But it doesn't extend into the realm of masks or in pandemic situations. All they're supposed to be doing is dealing with evildoers. And I'm not one of those, so they don't have any authority to tell me to wear a mask. I think those fictitious stories are pretty close allegories. The government has been put in place by God. And I don't think that we would have needed Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 if the government always did things that we liked. There'd be no reason for a fifth commandment if the kids weren't inclined to disobey. Because if parents were always doing things that the kids thought was spanky, hey, eat more candy before dinner, honey, the kid's going to obey because the parents are doing everything the child wants. If the government were doing everything I wanted, I wouldn't need Romans 13 or 1 Peter 2. I think that captures most of the arguments that people presented against my position of submitting to the government, putting on a mask, wearing it, even if I don't like it, because I have to obey because God has put them there for his glory, my good, and unless they command me to sin, well, then I have to do it whether I like it or not, and I can't quite wiggle out from underneath it because I try to limit the text to saying, oh, you just have the authority in punishing evildoers, but not in other realms. Let's dive, however, into your emails. There were many of them, and again, truly, it was a delight to read them because they were thoughtful. People were just dialoguing with a Christian brother. That's the way it should be. Shouldn't it? Let's get to your responses. I'll do my best to try to respond in kind. When so many doctors warn of the hazards of wearing masks, when Fauci vacillates on wearing, not wearing a mask, when it's not the law but the whim of the governor, when some states do not see the necessity of the masks and lockdown, when all medical authorities agree that the CV-19 is not airborne, how can one come to the conclusion it's not pleasing to God to not wear a mask? I get that. I understand all of that. There's no consistency. Everybody's all over the place. One day it's this, the next day it's that. I don't think that allows me to write off Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 again. If the government just did things that pleased me, I wouldn't be told to obey them. But they're going to do things that get up my nose that I disagree. There's so many things I disagree with. There truly are. That's speed limits that bug me. There are traffic rules that I'm annoyed with. How's about my property taxes? Drives me bonkers. But I just don't see that I can get out of it for any of those, even if it's whimsical. Let's just say this whole mask business is entirely political. This is all about whether or not Trump wins in the fall. Oh, yeah. Interesting subject for a different talk show. But what does that have to do with Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2? From Nathan. Our American freedom and liberty were born of rebellion against what our forefathers perceived as an overbearing regime. Either Todd needs to acknowledge that noncompliance, rebellion, and running redcoats through with bayonets are examples of righteous acts despite biblical admonitions and commandments that they're sinful, or else he shouldn't be appealing at all to an American freedom and liberty as a thing of merit. There are two responses to that that I would offer, Nathan. Number one is that this isn't always that. When we compare this with another thing, and a lot of people did that, they're not always the exact same thing. Second, and I'm not making a commentary on this, but we should at least know as modern-day evangelicals that during the time of the Revolutionary War, there were a lot of evangelicals who argued vociferously, preached regularly on Romans 13, that they should submit to the government because that's what Romans 13 says. So I would offer that up simply to state when we say that this is like that, the comparison needs to be, I think, a little bit more accurate. A revolution for tyranny versus putting a face mask on to potentially protect people from a virus. Fair enough. I see your point. I'm not sure that this is exactly that. We will continue lovingly dialoguing, trying to be biblical with a subject that sure does seem to be annoying. The government and masks next on Wretched Radio.
Another day, another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you very much for checking out Wretched TV, or vice versa. Yep, believe it or not, some folks found Wretched TV first and then came to Wretched Radio. Others start here with the radio and then head off the TV show. If you haven't sampled it yet, Wretched TV is our 30-minute TV show hosted by Todd. And it contains live witnessing encounters. There are discussions on tough theological issues and various other topics that wander hither and yon through our Christian communities. You can find Wretched TV by checking your local listings or any old time at wretched.org/TV. Special thanks to our gospel partners for making Wretched Radio and Wretched TV available to everyone. If you are not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider it? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Help us to continue to make Wretched Radio and TV available to everyone. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families, along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
What has good teaching, John Fabares, and two thumbs? That's right, Road Trip to Truth. Join us this fall as we take a road trip through topics like the gospel, creation versus evolution, depression, and much, much more. Road Trip to Truth is only possible because of the generosity of our gospel partners. Your gifts not only allow us to do Wretched every day, but they allow us to make great resources like our new video series, Road Trip to Truth. Now more than ever, people need to hear the gospel, and Road Trip to Truth is perfectly targeted for the millennial generation. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you consider becoming one today? And please know, every penny you give to us is carefully and gratefully stewarded away. Please visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner so we can get rolling on Road Trip to Truth. That's wretched.org/donate. If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That's right. I'm going to do it again. This is Wretched Radio discussing lovingly a difference of opinion on most certainly a tertiary issue, but it is a most excellent biblical exercise. Masks, the government, and 1 Peter 2. Do I submit, even if it is a mandate I don't like from a government I'm not nuts about, because 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13 say, submit to your government, do what you're told, pay your taxes, honor the king, and even the local authorities, makes its way down the ladder. I offered, I'm afraid I think we do. You may or may not like it, but I don't see an out. I don't see any way of escaping a clear command. And so it is, before we jump back into your responses, your loving. They truly were. It was just a delight to read your disagreements with me, because it's the way Christians should dialogue with one another. Let me try to respond with another anecdote. Let's just say, for yucks, that you are a parent and you give your child a command to do something, and your child responded by saying, yeah, but Dad, 3 days ago, you said something else. So therefore, I'm not going to obey you. You'd say, well, look, honey, I'm not going to go back and go to court over what happened a few days ago. This is today, and this is what I'm telling you. So I'm telling you, you've got to go clean your room right now. That's what you'd expect, because you have that authority. And even if you weren't acting in the most consistent manner, you would expect obedience. And I think that's what we're commanded to do in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. Even if the government isn't being consistent, even if this is a moving target, we still have to obey. Anecdote number two, you're a parent and you say to your child, I would like for you to wash your brother's bicycle. And if your child said, can't do that, Dad, because I think that you have a plan. You just want me to be busy out here with the bicycle because you plan on signing papers to have me adopted to another family. You'd say, you know, whether or not I actually have those plans, I'm telling you to go wash your brother's bike. And you can do that because you have the authority. Despite what your nefarious intentions may or may not be, you have the authority to do so, and you'd expect your child to behave. And I think that's fair with what we have going on with our government. We may think that this is nefarious. We may believe that this is about the election in the fall. It could be. History may or may not reveal it. Other talk shows can deal with it. But in the meantime, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 says, do what you're told. It doesn't matter what they're up to. It is very likely that Nero was doing things to Christians in order to get away with setting the place on fire himself. Nevertheless, Paul says, submit to that guy. He's up to shenanigans, up to no goods. He's a liar. He's a terrible emperor. Submit to him. And that is the same situation I think we find ourselves in. And I can't get around it. And my attitude or preference for masking or for not masking, it really doesn't matter. They have the authority given by God. And so it is. We'll jump back into your responses. I tried to grab a number of them that I thought were representative of many more. And you can continue to send me emails if you'd like to at idea@wretched.org. Masks are about shame, writes Kenneth, about perpetuating fear and exercising control. This is the modus operandi of the Democrats running their states into the ground at their whim. You could be entirely right. submit to the government. Submit to your authorities. You could be right, Kenneth. I wouldn't argue with you. I don't see that there's a caveat. I don't see an exception inside of these verses that tell me I can get away with that. This is from Doug. Realistically, masks do not work. Yep, could be. Government has authority. They tell me to put it on. I have to do what I'm told. I feel as though it's a compromise of my faith to wear a mask. Well, now this is interesting, isn't it? Let's open this up from that perspective. Wait a second. Now we've introduced another subject here. I feel like this is something that is causing my faith to be compromised. He writes, to me, wearing a mask says that my faith is not in God to keep me healthy and well. Wearing a mask says that I have faith in the mask to sustain me, and it takes over for God in that role. Okay, so here's what we've got. On the one hand, this is a feeling from Doug that if I put on a mask, I'm telling the world I'm trusting a mask and not God. On the other hand, my argument was, you're telling the world I obey a government because God told me to, and I'm putting my trust in him. Well, so now, how do you tip the scale? And I think it gets tipped for us. Submit to the governing authorities. And we're just going to let people have to interpret it the way that they see fit. But God tips the scale for me by telling me, submit to your government. Do what you're told. This is from Christine. Are we to joyfully comply and obey government when they start handing out the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell and eat to live? I don't know that this is that. Could it be, is it possible, Christine, that this is the government, deep state, that this is their plan to kind of move things toward because Antichrist is coming and there's good? Could be. I don't know. But I don't think this is that. I don't think a mask is the mark of the beast. And so I think that we're just told, submit to the government. Just do what you're told. Could it be conditioning people? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But my speculations, as good or accurate as they may or may not be, they don't matter. When I'm given a clear command, son, wash your brother's bike. You don't know what I'm up to, and it's really not your concern. Just do what you are told. This was sent from a number of people, actually. Nevertheless, what if the next mandate they give us is to line up for the ovens or FEMA camps? Oh, your children will go this way because we have other ideas for them, like August harvesting and sex slaves. Do we still obey our leaders? No, because this is not that. Being told to put on a mask, might it be conditioning? Yep. But just the same, if they're going to tell me to put my kid into an oven, I'm not going to obey that. Just like, who was it that was told to jump into an oven and actually obeyed? They didn't fight. The boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put into the oven, but I don't have to surrender my child if there's nefarious intentions. My command from God is to protect my children, no matter who that is. So I don't think that this is actually that. Idea@wretched.org. I suspect you might be disagreeing with me. By the time they tell me I have to wear a burqa, it's too late to protest. This is from Marge. We are headed exactly in that direction if we don't let them know that we also have a brain and have reasoned that it's very unhealthy to wear a mask. I realize we're commanded by God to do as the government says because it's pleasing to God. He put them in place, and now you know there's going to be a conjunction here. But when they came up with unhealthy rules that are of no value, I think we have to act as Daniel acted, and he was told to bow down. See, he was commanded to sin. Putting on a mask isn't a command to sin. Now, if it's bad for your health, I believe that they've actually already made that exception, that if you have any sort of breathing issue, asthma, you don't have to wear a mask in the places where they've mandated it, whatever that means. By the way, that's another response that many, many people had to my presentation on 1 Peter 2, submitting to the government even when we don't like it, because there's a joyful benefit in doing so, that the government is telling us to do something that could actually be physically harmful to some people. Right. That could be. But by them saying already you don't have to, well, they're demonstrating a little flexibility. But you say it's a mandate. They don't have the authority to do that. In fact, in Georgia, that's exactly what's going on. The mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, she's mandated masks are to be worn in Atlanta. Governor Brian Kemp said you can't enforce that because it's not a law. That's not the way it works. Okay, now where do you find yourself? I grant you, I'm not banging my fist on the table, but here it is. A mayor of my city says, I'm signing something that says wear a mask. She's the authority. And the governor says, well, you can't enforce that. And there's other constitutional attorneys who would say that it's got to go through the legislation. You can't be written a ticket. You can't be put in jail for a mandate. That's just not the way it works. Now, what does a Christian do? Let me just suggest this. The scale should tip more toward rather than how do I get out of this? How do I obey God by obeying my government to bring him glory and potentially see souls saved? Different Christians are going to have a different response to that, but I'm simply encouraging a striving to be obedient even as I potentially don't like it. Discuss. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Brace yourself, Doug. This is Wretched Radio, reading some emails from you, responding to my presentation on 1 Peter 2, where I believe Paul in Romans 13, Peter in 1 Peter 2, do not offer wiggle room when they say, submit to your government, obey them, do what you're told, even when you disagree with it, as long as it is not a mandate to sin, just do it. Because in so, you're submitting unto the Lord, and I believe there's a positive benefit in doing something we don't like. It brings glory to God, just like a child who does not like the command from a parent to do something, but does it joyfully, not grumbling, but joyfully. It demonstrates a great deal of love and trust in the parent. Same thing is true for us. It demonstrates a great deal of trust in the Lord when we joyfully obey something we don't like from a government authority that isn't good, let's say, but is put in place by God. Well, not everybody agreed with me. And so many people responded, many people disagreeing. It was not entirely, because that would mean everybody. Couple of snarks here and there. Overall, just great, thoughtful, considered responses. And that is precisely how we should deal with issues. I would have to say this is probably a tertiary issue. This would be a secondary issue, maybe, but more likely third ring. Certainly not an essential where we lovingly debate these things and discuss these things. And so I'm grateful that has been your response. And I'm trying to respond in kind because I haven't changed my opinion about my understanding of 1 Peter 2. I haven't been persuaded yet. I don't think you're a loser or a moron because you disagree with me, like a radio host is supposed to think. Let's do it lovingly. And let's model that for the world, which sure could use a little of that modeling. So I'm grateful that so many people have done exactly that. Let's see if Joey can do that now. You've got an issue with Doug's email. Is that correct, Joey?
Yes.
Doug was the fellow who said, I'm worried that this is saying to the world, if I wear a mask, I'm trusting a mask and not God. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
What's the issue?
Well, the issue is, I think the argument he's making is, I don't think he's making this specific argument, but
I'm sorry, I broke the rule. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think he's making this exact argument, but he's using the exact same logic that leads to the idea of we don't use modern medicine, we only pray.
Sure, that's another issue. Yeah, no, I think that's valid too.
The validity of common means. Like, does he wear a seatbelt to protect him?
Sure.
Should God providentially allow him to be in a car accident?
I would agree with that, and I'll bet Doug would too. I think that because this is something that is, there's other emotions and there's other information involved depending on what your source is, how effective are these things, et cetera. But you're right that we really don't, by taking advantage of things that God has provided for us to keep us healthy. That would be like the word of faith, false teaching. Don't take that medicine. Don't go through chemotherapy. Have more faith and show that you trust in God. That's wicked and awful, and people have actually died from that. No kidding. So I do agree with you on that, Joey. I suspect that Doug would too. I think that his point was simply that, you know, what is the message that we're sending with these things? And I want to worry about that to a degree, because I do want to be considered of my testimony. I do want to be aware, okay, if I wear this article of clothing, if I get that body mark, if I do this to my hair, what is that saying to the world? But ultimately, I have to be obedient, even if I'm concerned the world might think that. And so it would be in this situation. Let's just say that Doug is worried that by wearing a mask, he's telling people that he's not trusting God, but he's trusting a mask. Okay? How does that scale tip? And I think it tips by just taking a look at God said, submit to the government and do what you're told. So he's going to take care of that for me, and then I can rest. And even if somebody comes up to me and goes, so you're a Christian, why aren't you running around and without a mask jumping in front of people's sneezes? Huh? You can say, because God told me to submit to the government. End of story. End of debate. Grateful for the emails that you sent. I'm trying to read some of them that I think are representative of many others that were sent in. A lot of people posting on the Facebook post. This is from, that's Doug. This is from Kevin. Say you are witnessing to Ilhan Omar, a Muslim with authority, and she demanded your wife cover her face in honor of Allah. Would you do it? Would you just be obedient? Would you tell your wife to submit to the authority? And the answer would be no, because she would be commanding me to sin, to blaspheme against my God. So then I can take a look at Acts chapter 5, Peter and John stating to the authorities, you're telling me to not preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't obey you because he told me to preach it. Simple. If somebody tells you to sin, you do not have to obey that. Whether it is the government or whether it is at work, cook the books. Sorry, can't. Cook the books or I'll fire you. Which would be like saying, stop praying or I'm going to throw you into the lion's den. And Daniel disobeyed quite boldly, by the way, because it would be a sin to do so. This is back to Kevin. Trump is the king, like Nero. So submit to the king. He's not saying anything cheeky here. He's just saying that Trump is the king, the emperor, like Nero. So we submit, you say. Mm-hmm. But Trump has stated masks should be voluntary and optional. That means authorities under him are sinning by commanding we disobey our leader. Who do we submit to glorify God in this scenario? I get that, but here's the way the system works is Donald Trump has expressed his opinion. He hasn't mandated. He can't just say something, and that becomes the law of the land. Furthermore, 1 Peter says, you obey the emperor and the governing authorities. So it appears that it's not just the big guy in Rome, but your local authority, your national authority. So you have to obey them as they tell you based on their authority. Now, even as I recognize that can get tricky, and I know that it does, and we've watched it, haven't we? Okay, wait a second. The governor said that we don't have to shut down, but the county official, do you remember that? It was like the, it was the county attorney or something was the one who was shutting down counties. Do you remember that? And I remember going, where'd that person come from? Where was that person all of a sudden? All right, well, apparently somehow they've got some authority to do so. And so they mandated it. But the mayor said no. And then that person, the point of it is not, my point, at least in my original diatribe, was not to answer all of the questions, but to be pushing toward a desire for the Christian to joyfully obey because of the blessings that it produces. So as opposed to, let's just say, I'm a mask hater for all of the reasons that everybody is aware of. I hate those masks. And now they're going to tell me to wear the mask. Oh, wait a second. I'm going to try to find it out because there's some confusion coming from the authorities. That's one way to approach it. What I'm suggesting is, I hate those masks, but I love my God so much, I want to strive to be obedient. So even if I've got it wrong with who gets to mandate and who has the authority and who trumps, no pun intended, who trumps whom, my desire is to be obedient to God. So I'm going to err on the side of obedience to God from a clear command. That was my encouragement, not to solve all the issues, but to push us toward the positive. I cannot think of an example where God does not give a positive blessing for obedience, where something good does not come out of it. For instance, I'm a little hesitant. Okay, the couple, the boy and the girl, who are dating and behaving in a way that honors God. Their engines are revving. The world tells them, go ahead. But their desire is to be obedient to God and wait. Are there any positives from that self-denial? Come on, we can all think of them, can't we? Then what a testimony to the world. The news tunes into that. Now, I'm not suggesting this is right, wrong, or indifferent, but have you ever seen those news stories? And we went to the wedding. This is the first time that they've actually kissed. It says something to the world. Whether that is right or wrong, that's not my point. The point is, there are positive things that come from being obedient to God. That was my encouragement. A desire to strive to be as obedient as I can. And if I err on the side of being obedient to something when I didn't need to be, I still think it's pleasing to God. That was my encouragement. Not to tell you this is what the mass situation is all about and what you need to do, not on a tertiary issue. But hopefully, maybe, just maybe, a habit that we can all begin to cultivate, whether it is in the issue of masks, whether it is in the issue of not being promiscuous, our temper, when we mortify our desires to do something, and when we submit to God and when we are obedient to Him, whether it is through a direct command from Him, from our pastor's command, from the pulpit, our parents telling us what to do, the government teacher, that we look for ways to, I got to figure out how to get well within that circle, because that is a circle of blessing. Maybe, just maybe, that is a positive takeaway from the slight disagreement we might be having. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Is an hour of wretched a day just not enough for you? Can't get enough of good theology and mediocre comedy? Want to see the man behind the voice you hear on the radio every day? Then head on over to wretched.org/TV and watch hundreds of hours of our Wretched TV. Wretched.org. RascalRadio.org/TB. Bookmark that rascal. It's our 30-minute program, jam-packed full of topics. You'll hear everything from theology and evolution to pneumatology and evangelism and a whole lot more. So get yourself some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and turn on some Wretched TV. Oh, and a very big thank you to our gospel partners. Without you, there is no Wretched, so we are eternally grateful for your generosity. And if you are able to support Wretched, would you consider it today? Go to wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. And help us make Wretched TV available to everyone at wretched.org/TV.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What? You're still here? This is Wretched Radio. Thanks for hanging when we probably disagree. It seems I would say most people took exception with my position on masks, that we should strive to be obedient to God by obeying the government even when we disagree with them. And that's a disagreement we can have. Just so grateful. So far, been able to do that lovingly. I hope both directions. When it comes to obeying God, and when it comes especially to obeying those he has put in authority over us, it increases, doesn't it? Because this isn't just government and masks right now. This is parent and child. This is teacher and student. Let me just change the scenario for a moment. Your teacher assigns you a project. Have you ever griped or complained? Yeah. Who of us has not? That is the subject at hand for us. Your parents tell you to do something. It's inconvenient. It isn't exactly what you would want to do or even how you'd want to do it. Have you ever grumbled? Yeah. It's hard to submit to another human being. But as we do that joyfully, we're submitting unto God. And that is why the command to you, child, is honor your father and mother that it might go well with you. Obey them how? As in the Lord. When you obey your authority, you're obeying God. And what a testimony that is. And more than that, there is a joy in it. Where this tends to get hard is twofold. When you see something like, thou shalt not murder, that's a command from God, that's easier to take. Why? Well, first of all, it's directly from God. Second of all, I don't have a desire to murder anybody, thank you very much. But when it comes from a human being telling you to do something that you don't want to do or something that you do want to do that they forbid or vice versa, that's when it gets hard. So right now, let's just say the government came out with a policy and a program that said, your mayor didn't even go through the legislature. So this did not become a formal law, but your mayor of your town mandates, notice citizen of this town can eat dirt. Would it bug you? No, of course not, because you have no desire to eat dirt. You'd be fine, whatever. doesn't bother me. But if your mayor said, here's my mandate to you, I don't want you to eat at Zaxby's. That just got really hard. I don't want you to eat it. You can't eat at Zaxby's anymore. Whoa, wait a second. My inclination is to find any excuse to violate that mandate. I'm going to come up with the similar things that so many people are expressing. Hey, you can't mandate that I can't eat at Zaxby's. Hey, that's not what the founding fathers intended. Hey, what if the next time they tell me to eat cyanide? Huh? Okay, I understand that response because it's something that we don't like. And that is where obedience gets hard, isn't it? When it's from a human being, especially if you don't like the human being. So the mayor that's mandating it is a Democrat. Though, all of a sudden it gets a lot harder, doesn't it? If it were somebody you agreed with, that'd be better. Isn't it true? By the way, isn't that true all the time when it comes to following politicians? The guy with an R can say something and you go, well, yeah, I understand why he'd say that. The guy with the D says it and it's like, can you believe that guy said that? It's based on the authority. It's based on how we feel about that particular person. And so it is when it comes to obedience, that we desire more to be obedient when we care for somebody or agree with somebody. And it's something that's not that big of a deal to us. It's when it's from a human institution that I'm disagreeing with, telling me to do something I don't like. That's when it gets hard. And my encouragement would be, and believe me, I go to the front of the line on this deal. I want to look at this a different way now. I want to stop perceiving it as great, another rule, and start going, great, another opportunity for me to obey God and please Him and glorify Him. Now, that's just a paradigm shift. And if you're thinking, okay, what, are you just going to just check your brain at the door and not think these things through? Are you not going to take advantage of American privileges that we have to make change? I'm not saying any of that. I'm just talking about my heart changing and seeing the situation from a strictly biblical God lens. That's my encouragement. Not everybody agrees with it, but that was the hope. Your emails were sent in, much appreciated. Let me try to respond as politely as you wrote in. This is from Daniel. According to you, since abortion is government sanctioned, we should submit to it and comply enthusiastically. Nope, because this is not that. Putting on a mask is not the same thing as terminating the life of a child. And I have to tell you, by the way, just as an aside, just this morning, saw a picture of Nancy Pelosi. I believe it was from LifeSite News. And she said, I'm paraphrasing, it is immoral that people don't want to pay their taxes to support abortion. Wow. And I thought to myself, I'm a little bit of a pro-life guy, which, by the way, is why we promote preborn.org all the time, /wretched, so that you would support free ultrasounds, so that babies will be saved, the gospel will be preached to their mommies and daddies, and they get saved, and the cycle of abortion stops when somebody gets saved. Preborn.org/wretched, $28 for an ultrasound. 80% of the time, it saves a baby's life. Very pro-life. I don't think I'm as pro-life as I need to be, and I don't think that this is one of those instances where I have enough righteous indignation. She wants babies killed. Oh, she wouldn't say it that way. They're not babies. Joe Biden wants to do everything that he possibly can to see more babies murdered. Not killed, murdered. Because that's the difference between killing and murder. Killing can be justifiable. Self-defense, just war, capital punishment. Murder is the intentional taking of an innocent human life, and that is exactly what abortion is. And they want it. More of it. And fund it, and promote it, and send money overseas so other people can do it. I don't think that I can get incensed enough to even begin to reflect how indignant God must be about this issue. Woo! And so if the government tells me, have an abort my child? Not a chance. So what's the difference? I would say put on the mask. If they tell me to put on the mask, I'll put on the mask. They tell me to abort my child, not a chance. Because one is not the other. One is something that could bug me. The other is a sin. That's the difference. Could this be a sign of things to come? Could this be a slippery slope? Sure, it could be. It really could be. But I don't see that in the text of 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. By the way, you want to see a slippery slope? This is going to shock you not. Headline: Massachusetts city official recognizes partnerships of three or more spouses. No! Say it isn't so! Somerville, 80,000 citizens, two dozen polyamorous households. A law signed by Mayor Joseph Cataloni, so that a threesome can be married and receive all of those benefits. Do you remember some people going, you know, the whole marriage thing? Yeah, if you say it's okay for two boys or two girls, the next it's going to be for threesomes. No, don't be crazy. Don't be ridiculous. That's never going to happen. Well, it's happened officially. Here's what they said. Here's a shocker. Besides the ability to receive health benefits, many of the justifications for the move offered by officials mirror arguments used during gay marriage debates. No, that's impossible. Quote, I think this was the mayor. This is simply allowing that change, allowing people to say, this is my partner and this is my other partner. It has a legal bearing. So when one of them is sick, they can both go to the hospital. Blah! You can both go to the hospital anyway, that old canard. By the way, the American Psychological Association refers to polyamory as a marginalized identity, calling it consensual non-monogamy. That's a not negatively wanting to what? How many negatives? What is it exactly? That's a slippery slope. Now, are we slipping on a slope because the government is telling us to wear a mask and this is leading up to the mark of the beast? Could be. But I don't see in the text of 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13 a caveat that lets me slide from what appears to be a pretty clear command that if I submit to and obey as unto the Lord, I am in a circle of blessing where he is well pleased with me, that I do something that gets up my nose, that evangelizes to people, it receives eternal rewards, and it brings God great glory. There could be, should be, delight in obedience, even if it means putting on a mask. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.